Welcome back to Press Any Button. I'm your host, Nikki.
And I'm Eric.
And today we're going to be talking about a little game called Hades.
Yeah, Hades.
Hades is a roguelike action RPG where you play as a Greek god Zagreus, son of Hades, who is trying to escape from the underworld. You're aided by pretty much every Greek god who is not named Hades. So spoiler alert is in effect. We may be discussing some of the story of the game. And yeah, spoiler.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So the big debate is whether this is a roguelike or a roguelite. No, it's not a debate. It's
I don't think there's anything light about this game.
Well, technically a roguelike, you shouldn't be able to improve your character between runs. And in this game you can. So that's why it would be considered more of a roguelite than a roguelike.
Okay. Well, why don't you continue to educate me about this game, Eric, because I'm really excited to learn about it.
Yeah, let's get into the past section. So Hades was developed by Supergiant Games, which is a small studio of about 20 people in San Francisco, known for releasing critically acclaimed indie games. The other games include Bastion, Transistor, and Pyre. Have you ever heard of any of those games?
No.
Yeah.
Are they all roguelike? Games.
No. I think this is their first roguelike games. Typically, I think they do RPGs, like action RPGs.
Oh, and then I would probably like those games.
Yeah.
It's like kind of my typical go-to game genre.
Yeah, and from glancing at their Wikipedia pages, like these are all critically acclaimed games. So this is a studio known for making very good games.
Ooh, well, I need to look at those three and see if I want to add any to my must-play list.
So Hades was officially released on September 17th, 2020 for PC and Nintendo Switch, but before that, it was released as an early access game all the way back in December of 2018 for PC.
Wow, 2 years before?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why it may feel like it's been out a lot longer than it actually officially has.
Okay.
Because it's been in early access for like a couple years.
That's why I'm just now hearing about all my friends playing it, because it really just got released in September 2020.
Yeah.
Well, for Switch.
Officially released. Yeah. But before this, it was an early access game. So basically,
and what does that mean if you're signed up for a special club?
Yeah, so it's basically you can play the game while it's still like in development. So while it's still a beta. So basically, kind of for Supergiant Games, it was a way of letting players be their beta testers. Since this is a small company of only like 20 people.
Do you have to pay to
do that? You're still essentially buying the game, but you still have it once it's officially released. So
kind of like a Kickstarter or something along those lines. Where
people but with an early
access.
See
what it's about and they're like, yeah, I want to get in on this. And then that's one of the perks of putting your money up.
So you've never been excited enough to try to play an early access game?
No, I've never seen anything in early access. There's definitely been games I've heard about and I've been excited to play, but I didn't know that it was an option.
I
didn't know that was a thing that you could do.
I don't think I've ever been excited enough about a game to be like, oh, I want to be part of the early access crowd and see this game when it's like in the early stages of development. And like be basically a beta tester for the pay to be a beta tester for the game. Like, I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me as like,
really?
I'd rather just play the finished product when it's done. Is there any game like you would ever be excited enough about where you want to be like, oh, I just want to play it. Like, even if it's still in the beta form.
So are you just scared that it'll be really bad in beta form?
Yeah.
And then you won't even be excited about the finished product.
I would rather.
Cause like Hades. I know you really like this game. Spoiler alert, Eric loves this game. But, you know, you wouldn't be interested in playing this in its earlier stages?
Yeah, of development? No, I'd rather play it like...
Even if you knew, like, your input could help them make the game better and like actually more tailored to your tastes in the end.
Well, essentially at that point you're a beta tester, and I feel like that's almost like a paying gig.
They should pay you to do that.
I want to play the final product. I don't
Or just give you the product for free. That might be good incentive. I guess one gets paid. You just both do things for fun.
I mean, I don't think they had a problem getting people to pay for it early access, but I feel like, you know, you're signing up to essentially beta test the game for them.
Yeah. But it's probably people that are fans of the other games that have come out.
That's
and
true.
Like you said, they're all really good, critically acclaimed games. So, you know, once you get that reputation, their fans are probably like, I know it's going to be good. Like, sure, yeah, I want to get on everything. I want to know what it's going to look like in the beginning and then all the changes that are made. And it could be cool to see, you know, how it starts and how it finishes, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's something I didn't really think about. They did have a really good reputation before this game. But yeah, cool. Okay, moving on. Early in development, Hades was called Minos and starred Theseus exploring the labyrinth of Crete. Each playthrough of the game would have been a retelling of the Theseus myth. Do you know who Theseus is?
I've heard of Theseus, but I cannot tell you which story is his.
His story is he kills the Minotaur in the labyrinth. That's Theseus. And he becomes king of Athens.
Okay.
I don't remember much about Theseus either, honestly.
I wonder why they ended up changing it.
I'm getting into that.
Oh.
There are several reasons for the change of theme, according to the game's lead writer, Cassavin. They had a hard time making Theseus not a very generic hero, for one. Whenever they would try to define his character more, it felt like they were straying too far from the mythology of who he was. They also felt the game's story was too grim, with each playthrough resulting in Theseus's death. So, yeah, Theseus, they thought, was just too generic of a hero. Which, like, I don't think you ever got to his character in the game where they repurpose his character and make him a bad guy in this game, which is great. He's a pretty hilarious bad guy, and he just, like, he puts you down so much every time you try to fight him.
So it sounds like they wanted, did they make up Zagoras? Is he a made up
character? No, he's not made up at all.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking maybe they wanted to make up a character, that way they had total freedom, they could just do whatever they wanted. So they just ended up going with Zagoras because they thought he was a more interesting character.
Well, I'll say he's a real god in the sense that he's a very poorly defined god and very, very rarely written about god. So he was basically an unwritten character or a blank slate where
got
they could really just put whatever they want with his character.
Got it. That makes more sense.
Yeah, and Theseus was, there's already a bunch of stories about Theseus, which is why his character is defined and why they had such a hard time straying from that. So after reading Zagreus's Wikipedia page, I still have no idea who he is. There's a single line about him in the Greek epic Alcamenes that describes Zagreus as highest of all the gods assumed in the underworld.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. In some cases...
Very vague.
He's portrayed as the son of Hades and Persephone, and some it's Zeus and Persephone, because in some cultures they thought Hades was infertile since he lived in the underworld where everything is dead.
Got it. Either way, it's kind of a win-win. Either way, you have a god as a dad. So, I mean, that's cool.
There's one particularly weird story about Zagoras in which he was the first Dionysus. Like, he was the first god that was supposed to be, you know, god of wine and partying. But as a baby, he was torn apart by the Titans. He was, like, ripped limb to limb.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then
I guess he survived.
But... And then, like, Athena saved his heart or something. And they, like, reassembled him. Or another one, Zeus gave him, ground his heart up into a potion and gave it to another one of his wives, and she became pregnant with the real Dionysus weird like that.
Yeah, there's always some crazy crap going on.
Yeah, Greek mythology is super weird, and I honestly am super confused by his Wikipedia page. So if someone knows more about that than I do, please chime in.
Well, his story now is his story in Hades. We just go by that.
Let's just go by the video game, because that's probably the best.
That's his story now.
The best written about him so far. Hades has sold over 1 million copies and has received several awards, including Game of the Year, Best Music, Best Writing, Best Acting categories at the 10th Annual New York Game Awards, and several other awards. They've also been nominated and won awards.
Damn.
So yeah, this is a very like highly critically acclaimed.
They swept the awards.
Yeah, like, at that one ceremony. At just that one gaming awards show. That was the 10th Annual New York Game Awards. But yeah, at that one they destroyed it. But other ones, you know, they've been nominated for like Game of the Year and stuff. And they've sold
I thought they got Game of the Year on IGN or something.
I think they were nominated. I'm not sure if they won or not.
Oh, okay.
And then I think they actually at this point have sold more in early access than they have their finished. I think they sold over 700,000 copies in early access. And then it bumped up to like 1 million when they finally released it. So yeah,
wow.
They've sold a bunch of copies.
That's a lot of early access. I thought it would have been maybe 10 or 20% of
me too. Yeah.
You know what the game would sell, but that's like 70%.
Yeah, as someone who bought it after launch, as opposed to before, that's so weird to say about it again. Someone who bought the game after it launched officially.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm kind of behind the curve.
I feel like it is going to keep selling more and more, though, just because word of mouth.
Yeah, and they may end up porting it to other systems as well, like because right now it's only on PC and Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty smart.
Okay, I have some fun facts.
Ooh, fun facts. Yeah.
And I think...
fun facts section of the podcast.
I think I heard that you have a fun fact as well.
I do have a fun fact. Should I do my fun fact first, or should I let you do your fun facts and then do mine at the end?
Let's do yours at the end.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So fun fact number one, there are over 20,000 lines of dialogue in this game.
Oh my gosh.
So when you combine that with the fact that you can't really interact with the character more than once per life, it makes it seem like they always have things to say and story elements that add on top of it just because there's so much content in this game.
Okay, so let's just do the math here. They've got about 20 employees.
Yeah.
And you said there was over 20,000 lines of dialogue?
Well, not... I think they have other people they hire as voice actors that aren't officially employees.
Yeah.
That are more just contract workers.
Well, I'm talking about writing, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, writing.
So even... That's 1,000 lines a piece per employee. And I know every employee's not doing the writing. You know, they all have their jobs. But, whoa, that's a book.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. But that's a lot of lines.
But that's one of the reasons there's so much, like, story and lore in this game. It's nuts.
I mean, it does help with the replayability, I guess. It's like, man, you can keep going forever and still have new lines of dialogue you haven't read.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way anyway. Okay, so fun fact number two. While several of the voice actors in the game do multiple characters, there's one, Logan Cunningham, who does 6 of them.
Whoa.
Including Hades, Achilles, Poseidon, the narrator, Charon, and Asterius. So you got one guy, cool, and he's got those 6 characters. Did you notice that? Like,
no.
All 6 characters?
I didn't. Not really.
Did you notice that Hades' voice and the boatman's like grunts were like the same person?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
It just cracks me up that he has all these characters and then he did all these like weird noises on top of that for this.
He's
boatman.
Really good because like those all sound kind of different. I mean, I guess now that you tell me, I'm like, if I went back and listened, like, oh yeah, I can see. But he did a really good job of making them all very distinct. He's a talented guy.
Yeah, there are multiple like voice actors who did multiple voices, and their voices are distinct. Like, so the same lady who did Dusa also did Aphrodite, which those characters sound pretty different.
They do. But if you're a good voice actor, you probably have a lot of different voices in your arsenal.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I can think of my friend Thomas. He's a voice actor, and he puts out these little videos every week on Instagram, and he'll do like readings of D&D cards and stuff. But yeah, he can do like male voices, female voices, deep, high, like all kinds of really different sounding voices. It's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, that neat.
Neato.
So fun fact number three, there are also a few other cameos from Supergiant Game employees, including Darren Korb, who does the music and sound for the game and also does the voices of Zagreus and Skelly. So the person who does all the music.
Dang, talk about being a showboat.
Yeah, seriously.
Am I going to do the music, but I'm going to do the main characters. Because I bet Scully, man, I bet he has like 10% of the lines of dialogue. So he's got something new every time.
Yeah. And then Greg Cassavan, the lead writer, is always there to greet you as Hypnos whenever you die.
Nice. That'd be fun, just being, you know, working on the game. You're like, you know what? I'm not a voice actor, but I want to be one for this game, so I'm going to do it. And I can, because I'm making the game.
Yeah, okay.
So, I would want to be Deuce's voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that Deuce.
She cracks me up.
She's so funny. Okay, so fun fact number 4. Zagreus doesn't know what birds are.
What? Why? Is that a... What? How do you know?
Yeah, that's it.
How do you know he doesn't know what birds are?
That's what the fun fact said.
Is it just because he's never been above ground or above, like, out of the underworld?
Yeah, I assume so. He knows what bats are.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what birds are.
Hmm. Someone needs to tell him. Like, birds are great.
Yeah, birds are a thing. You should be aware of them.
Are you ready for my fun fact?
Yes.
Okay, my fun fact's better than all of your fun facts.
Hey, I thought mine were pretty good.
I'm just kidding. But so my fun fact is that someone has beaten Hades using a pomegranate, the fruit, as a controller. What, happened was someone thought it would be funny because, you know, you get palms of power in the game. It's one of the boons that you can get. And I guess someone was like, I'm going to make a pomegranate into a controller. So he basically cut up a pomegranate into a bunch of different chunks and used a makey-makey circuit board and hooked up specific inputs to specific chunks of the pomegranate. And he beat the whole game playing with this controller.
Yeah, that's nuts. I remember like seeing flashes of the video, and then I didn't watch it because I was doing other stuff. But that's really cool.
But you could not aim with this controller. So not only did he beat the game with a pomegranate that was squishy and all this, you know, making a mess, but he couldn't aim the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's nuts. This game is not easy. So...
Yeah,
I don't know, the fact that he beat it without even being able to aim, like, that in itself would be kind of hard to do.
Yeah,
but on top of that, he had a random controller that you can't even hold. You probably just had to smash down, you know, like, and, you know, I could post a picture of that on our Instagram so you guys can see what the controller looks like, but I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, cool. So, did you like this game, Nikki?
I do like this game. I'm not done playing yet. I think I'm going to keep trying to actually beat it. At first, I thought it was going to be too hard for me. I felt very overwhelmed.
Yeah, I remember you seeming super overwhelmed by it.
I was very stressed out. I've never played a game like this before, except for Super Mario Brothers, where if you die, you go all the way back to the beginning every time.
Yeah, it's got that old school Nintendo difficulty.
It's nuts. You can't save it. I was thinking, okay, in between the layers, to me, that would make sense to have a save point once you get out of the layer, and then you can start back over, at least like the beginning of the layer you were on. But no,
yeah,
that's not how that goes in this game. But the more I played it, the more I liked it. And the more you play, the easier it does get because you get more and more power-ups and boons and all of that.
Yeah.
But it's very rewarding once you do beat a big milestone boss or get to a new level of the underworld. It's because it was so hard, it is very rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I had that as one of my positives as well. Like that feedback loop in the game, man, it feels good. It feels good progressing in this game. And it also feels good, like building up your character and stuff like that. Like it always feels like you have unlockables and things you have to work for, which makes your characters better. It makes the playthroughs easier.
You definitely have to earn everything you get in this game. We saw a run through on YouTube the other night, though, where someone started from a fresh game, a fresh memory slot, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And beat the whole entire game,
in 25 minutes.
Yeah, in 25 minutes, just from nothing. And that was just blew my mind.
Yeah,
like,
that's nuts. I'm
on like over 30 attempts, and I have barely made it to the third layer.
Yeah, I've had a bunch of attempts, and I've escaped several times, like 20.
Yeah, I know. Don't rub it in.
Sorry.
Jeez.
I thought we were comparing.
I have nothing to compare it to. Wow, that's brutal. Burn.
Sorry, I didn't mean that to be such a
burn. I really like the elaborate story. Like you said, there's 20,000 over 20,000 lines of dialogue or whatever. But yeah, the story is just so detailed. Clearly, they spent a lot of time making sure that people could play it over and over without getting bored.
Yeah, and the thing I like about the story too is it doesn't get in the way of the gameplay. Like if you just want to keep playing the game, you can just ignore all the characters. You can just walk right by them and go back out there and play again. Like it's not forced on you. I mean, you're motivated because there are elements in the story that can help you. So you're kind of motivated to go through at least some of the story. But yeah, it's really well thought out.
And if you read faster than the actor is talking and you're just like, don't want to, you know, lose your momentum, then you can just go like speed read through the dialogue and then get on with the game.
I'll say like, I didn't feel have the need to like skip dialogue in this game because the voice acting is so good. And like the actual dialogue in some cases is pretty good and pretty funny. Like I didn't really skip all that much dialogue.
I did. I was just like, I don't know, once I get that adrenaline going, you know, and I'm like, my heart's pumping, I'm just like, I just gotta beat this guy. Like, yeah. I don't need to hear what you say, Megara, I just gotta beat you.
But I had that listed as a positive. The voice acting I thought was really, really well done.
Yeah, the voice acting is really good. You can tell these guys are professional voice actors,
and
sure.
It made like the gods feel like they had more personality, you know, like Poseidon was that like fun uncle and Dionysus was that party guy. And, you know, like, yeah, even like the side characters like Dusa and Thanatos and those guys, you know, just the different personalities were really well captured.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So I want to comment too on the artwork in this game because it is so beautiful. Like from the portraits to the levels, the layers or the biomes or whatever, everything looks gorgeous. It looks like you're in a painting almost.
Oh yeah, I agree. It's like a really nice graphic novel. Like, cause it has a video game, not a video game, but it has like a comic book kind of feel to it a little bit.
Yeah, but it's absolutely gorgeous. So I honestly, like, it's fun just to even just kind of roam around in some of the areas you've kind of already been to and just kind of look at everything.
One of the things I like is the variety of things that you get to do in the game and the choices. You have a lot of different weapons to choose from. You have a lot of different enemies to fight. And like there's a lot of different layouts, a lot of different like rooms and types of like environments that you fight in.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, there's different boons that you can pick from and different... what are the things called, like the tooth and the purse? What are those called?
I think it's just a different item.
I guess just so many different items that help you with different kinds of advantages. So you really do get to kind of like customize your game.
Yeah.
You know, every game is going to be different. And even if you wanted to try to make it the same, you literally cannot.
Yeah, you know, it's the probability of getting the same exact boons every run are like, yeah, really low. In fact, you're probably not even going to see one or two of the gods like each run through.
Mm-hmm. And you're never going to go through the same map.
Yeah.
Because the chambers are randomized.
Yeah, there's so many elements like that that keep the game fresh. The game gives you motivation to learn the different weapons because you get rewards for using, you get fresh rewards for using the different weapons, which is really nice. So, and they kind of change how you can approach fighting enemies and stuff like that. But yeah, it's there's so many things that tweak, and then you can get a power up that can affect that weapon that again can change how it's used effectively.
Yeah, and it doesn't always. Like in other games, sometimes you get a power up, but the weapon still kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
Or at least the same like motion. In this one, you could possibly get power ups that turn like one shot into five shots.
Yeah. Or like a single shot into a charge shot. Yeah. Or something like that.
So even if you are using the same weapon, it's still different. Even that's still different every time because I usually just use the same ones over. Like, I like the gun and I like the spear.
Yeah.
And even playing through with those weapons is still different.
Yeah. Yeah. I can still get mixed up
depending just with on those what power ups you get or what boons you get.
Yeah.
And I know you already talked about how beautiful the like animation is and everything.
Yeah.
But I just want to talk about how cool all the outfits are that the gods have on. Like I feel like they probably consulted with a fashion designer or something, because these costumes are really detailed, really elaborate, and like just really cool. Like, I hope at Dragon Con I see some Hades cosplay.
Oh man, yeah, the cosplay for this game is gonna be nuts. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and man, I feel like there's some characters that wouldn't be as hard, but if you could like pull off a Nyx or a Hades or even a Zagreus, man, that'd be cool to see.
You have to have three wolf heads hanging off your shoulders.
Yeah, lots of skull yeah. things.
Yeah, that's my kind of stuff. I love that. So the soundtrack, oh man, the soundtrack is so good. I love the soundtrack. And then you get to Orpheus and Eurydice's songs, and man, so good.
Yeah. That's what I have too. I was like, music is top notch.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, and we were listening to just the soundtrack the other day while we were driving around, just because we like the music so much.
Yeah,
it does a good job of like setting the mood for what is about to happen to you. Like when you're about to fight a boss, the music gets like a lot more intense.
Yeah,
it like really pumps you up. It's a good soundtrack to the game.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Yeah, it's great.
I have a pro slash a con.
Okay.
So this is a good way to segue into the cons. But the game is really challenging. Like I said, like at the top, you know, at first I thought it was really overwhelming. So yeah. If you've never played a game like this before, you know, a lot of things were shocking to me. I thought you were joking, but you really were not joking. And so I don't know if this would be a good first game for you to play if you've never played a game like this. I don't like, and maybe you can tell me, but there might be a better like beginner type of game that could ease you more into this, or man, at least to get you used to, just so you know what to expect.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a friendlier roguelike as kind of an entry, but man, they're all so brutal.
as a genre,
yeah,
it's hard.
All the games I can think of, like the one that got me into roguelikes was Linley's Dungeon Crawl, and god, that game was brutal. I don't know why I liked it.
Yeah, so like I said, that's a pro and a con. Like, really, it's not a con. Like, it's better for it to be more challenging than for you to play a game and feel like it was made for like a kindergartner or something. You don't want it to be too easy, and then there's no satisfying feeling when you beat the game. You're just like, oh yeah, I beat something like anyone could beat.
Yeah,
but I did have to go through a phase where I was a little stressed out, but now I feel much better now that I've played more.
Yeah, I was gonna say it could use like an easier setting for more casual gamers. Because, yeah, this game is built for I'm not going to say hardcore gamers, but like people who might be familiar with the roguelike genre.
Yes. People who have a good attention span. Unless you want to play this game in a lot of little sessions, but you really can't do that. You kind of have to play until at least you die. You know, since you can't save in between, unless you want to put your system on sleep. But then you kind of lose your momentum with the what the controls do and all that. So,
yeah,
it's not one to play if you really can't sit down and play for, like, at least an hour at a time.
Yeah, and it takes, like, about an hour to make it through the whole game on a good setting. But if you're kind of going slow and pacing yourself, maybe an hour and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours.
I feel like it would be a pretty easy game for them if they did want to, like, redo it, remaster it. I don't know what the word is, but if they ever wanted to redo it, I feel like it wouldn't be that hard to just have an easy mode. Like, just adding save points at the end of each layer would make it exponentially easier.
Yeah. I don't know about... Because, yeah, it's save points, then it's not really roguelike at that point.
True,
but,
I guess.
But I would say there's still ways to make it more accessible to more casual gamers just by adding like an easier difficulty setting where it's not just so brutally hard right off because the game is pretty brutally hard.
So you say if they did an easy mode, just have the power-ups be more powerful?
Yeah, or more health, you know, stuff like that. It wouldn't be that hard to make it.
Definitely just add more opportunity to get health. That would help a lot. A whole lot.
Okay. And then the only other negative I had was it can get a little bit repetitive, especially when you do get stuck at a particular area or boss fight, because it can get really frustrating, like dying on the same boss over and over again. Mm-hmm. But you do start to eventually learn the patterns a little bit better. I will say that. But yeah, I can understand how it can get kind of frustrating just dying in the same spot over. Like, that first Fury was pretty tough, beating Megra.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of frustrating to keep dying over and over to her. It's like, okay, how do I not instantly, like, die when I get to her every single time?
And my last thing that I will say, you do have to put in a lot of hours of gameplay to get your footing to beat the game.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're really good, I don't think that you could just beat the game on your first try.
No.
Even that guy that we saw on YouTube, I'm sure he has put in probably 100 hours or more of playing the game before he was able to do it himself from a fresh slot.
No, I agree with that point.
Speaking of getting your footing in the game, Eric, what was your strategy for this?
I employed lots of strategies.
Did you now?
I employed many strategies.
I'm shocked and surprised.
So there's the first thing is to look for the patterns in the enemies and the bosses and stuff. That's kind of like, you don't really need to say it. But the other one was I had kind of like a tier list of how I considered the items. I considered not all items were equal, at least to me. Unless you were just like specifically gathering darkness or keys or something, I kind of went by a tier. Like, if I saw this one, I would go towards it. If I saw the hammer that was my top tier item. Like, I would always pick the hammer almost no matter what.
I would do that too, but my top tier item was health.
Health.
Anytime I saw a heart, I was like, yes, I need that.
So my order was the hammer, and then any event, you know, like Sisyphus or Eurydice or whatever, if you'd run into one of them.
Okay.
So I'd usually value their event pretty highly. If nothing else, just to progress the story, even if I really didn't need the reward.
Mm-hmm.
But the rewards for them are usually pretty good. And then any boon, so like anything, any
like
benefit.
A god symbol. Yeah.
Anything you could get from a god. And then the nectar, the centaur heart, and then the pomegranate, and then the coins, and then gems, and then darkness, and then at the bottom were keys. I almost always tried to avoid
Where's
keys.
Health on your list?
The centaur hearts? Yeah, that's health.
Oh, sorry. That's the max
health. There wasn't a thing for, well, I guess shops, but I usually didn't. I'd usually try to get the shop at the very end of the, right before the boss fight. So I wouldn't stop at a shop unless I thought it was the very end.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Just right before stack up.
Yeah.
Before the big fight.
And then later in the game, you get the faded choices, which where you can kind of change some of the items, but they're kind of grouped, so you can only change some of the items to other items, if that makes sense. Like you can only change the gems, darkness, and keys and nectar between each other.
Okay.
Like you can't change a key into a boon.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So in some cases, if you saw like a coin or a pomegranate or a heart, you could change it into a boon if you wanted to.
I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah. You would actually have a higher percentage chance of changing those into a boon, which, you know, boons are pretty high on my priority list. So sometimes I'd do that. And changing between the keys, darkness, and gems, it really didn't do much unless you're lucky enough to get nectar, which is like pretty high on my tier list. So did you employ any strategies while you were trying to play?
I think you have more long-term strategy, whereas I have more short-term strategy.
Yeah.
Because my strategy was always getting help, because I knew that I was 100% going to always need help. and also dashing around a lot.
I think that's everyone's strategy. Yeah, that's like that becomes a very necessary strategy in a lot of the games.
Probably everyone's strategy. But once I figured that out, I'm kind of slow when it comes to things on video games sometimes. But like once I figured that out, I was like, whoa, that was game changer. I was like, yeah, I just need to dash around. Obviously, like that's why it's one of the main functions that you have.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I like as you keep playing, you get really sweet like power-ups for your dashes and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I really like Zeus's one where you get the lightning. So every time you dash, it strikes, like lightning strikes near where you dash.
Yeah.
And hits your enemies.
I really
like that one.
I really like Athena's where you can be invulnerable and deflect missiles and stuff like that when you're dashing. That can be super useful, like especially if you have an enemy shooting missiles like from the lava or something that you're super familiar with.
Yeah,
and hate.
I hate the lava. That would be something I would put on the easy mode thing, is not to let players die from lava or lose their health from lava. It's like the game is already hard. Like it's just like the hard cherry on the hard sundae, on top of the hard sundae, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's just, you're just getting like sadistic at that point.
Yeah.
Eric, speaking of strategy, did you have any strategy on certain like boss fights?
Yeah, I just had one for the Theseus Asterius fight in Elysium.
So that's like the end of layer 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the boss fight before the Hades boss fight. You still have another layer to go through, but I found this boss fight like particularly challenging.
Yeah.
And part of it was because you're fighting Theseus and Asterius, which is the Minotaur, together.
Double boss fight.
Yeah, so it's
basically
like a two boss fight. And then when
when
Theseus drops to half health, he'll summon help from a god. It's usually a god whose boon you haven't picked up.
Oh no!
But each god will have a different kind of pattern. But little circles will appear around the stage, sometimes around you, and you have to dodge those as well as trying to deal with both Theseus and Asterius. I found it was much easier if you actually just focus on defeating Asterius entirely before you start worrying about damaging Theseus too much. Because once he gets that half health, man, trying to fight him like all three with all that going on, it's just too much.
Yeah. So just try to wipe out one ASAP.
Yeah. So specifically the Minotaur.
Oh, yes.
Because otherwise, yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to knock out the other guy first.
Yeah.
This is good, valuable information for when I get to this point in the game.
Yeah. That's just what helped me a lot. Like I said, I died a bunch on that fight.
Oh, yes. I was about to ask you a question. How many times did you die during that fight?
A lot.
Or you're on average now, like, is it still hard even though you beat it a bunch of times?
No, it's gotten a lot easier. I'll still occasionally die maybe once, but I've gotten pretty good at it.
Nice.
And part of it is just getting used to those patterns where it's like, okay, I know when the little target appears on me, Theseus is getting ready to throw his spear, so I got to start dodging around. When the Minotaur turns towards you, he's going to start swinging his axe, so you better start dashing around. So stuff like that helps a lot.
You know how I said I wasn't feeling overwhelmed or anxious anymore. You know, it's coming back. It's coming back, and I'm really freaking out about these.
That's all right. You can do it.
Future boss fights. They sound very hard, and oh God, I'm gonna. Oh man, it's gonna take me a long time to get through.
You can do it. It's not impossible. Part of it
is clearly not. You've done it, as you like to remind me, like 20 times already.
I've done it about 20 times, yes.
But I'm sure there's people out there that beat it more than you.
Yeah.
I would like to know, hey, if you're listening, like, comment on our Instagram post with how many times you have made it out of the underworld or gotten through the game.
Yeah.
I want to know who's got the top score. Oh, yeah. Not me.
So did you have any other strategy tidbits that you found helped?
No, I'm so bad at strategy. And it really does not help me in this game to not be good at strategy, because I'm sure by the 30th try, you've probably like had already beaten the game.
I don't know about that.
I feel like it's going to take me double the amount of tries that it did like you or John for me to get through.
Yeah, for me, what helped was just focusing on the small victories, focus on trying to get a little further, or even focus on resource gathering, focus on trying to gather a bunch of darkness or keys or something. I found that helped. So even when I was trying to like gather a bunch of keys or something, I'd still end up like, oh, hey, I actually got further than I thought doing that, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. I really am.
Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome.
I can tell it by the tone of your voice. Did you find anything happening in the future for this game?
I couldn't find that much stuff. I found that it might be coming out on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, I also...
this year, but...
I also saw that rumor.
I didn't see anything about PlayStation, though.
Yeah. I did see that they haven't officially announced anything, though. So it was just a rumor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't official, but it seemed like a pretty like legit rumor, and it makes sense.
Yeah,
it would be a great game for the Game Pass.
Yeah,
like that means you get it for free for the month or whatever, right?
No, that's not Games with Gold. Oh. The Game Pass is like its own subscription service.
Oh, my bad. So you just pay per month like Netflix, and then you just play whatever game.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a cool service. It's never been that much of an interest to me because games already aren't that expensive, but if you have like a large library of games that you want to play, that includes the game. I can see getting into that.
I can tell you what people want. People want more download or any downloadable content that they can add on to this game.
For Hades? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a lot of articles about that. People were like, when's there going to be downloadable content? I guess people just have that insatiable need for more game. If they really love a game, they just want more and more of it.
Yeah, and this is not a company known for doing that. Like, they didn't do any other add-ons for any of their other three games, so it's pretty doubtful that they would suddenly change and do it for this game, but you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't get your hopes up, people. And I also saw that a lot of people think that this would make a pretty good Netflix show or show in general, which I don't know if it's done right. It could be really cool. I think if HBO did it or something, that it would be really cool because they could make it, you know, rated R. But
oh, man. Yeah, that would be really good.
I think of Game of Thrones and how awesome all the outfits and the costumes were for that show. And so whoever did the costumes for that show could probably do the costumes for the Hades, the show.
It would make a really good show. They put so much story in this that you could probably do a bunch of seasons too.
That's true. Yeah. Netflix, HBO, if you're listening, we are up for this idea and we will give it a try. Who do you think could play Zagreus?
Jim Carrey.
No. Oh my God. He's too old. No, he's too old. You need someone younger. Maybe like Channing Tatum.
Keanu Reeves.
Too old. He's old too.
Yeah.
I picture Zagreus being like 20 something.
Yeah, I only know old actors. That's my problem. Tom Cruise. Oh God.
I mean, the look. I mean, younger Tom Cruise. I mean, the look is kind of on point with the black hair and everything. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know enough actors to answer that appropriately.
Yeah, Erica doesn't know anything about pop culture except video game stuff.
Yeah, I know who Jim Carrey is.
Good job.
So Hades recently received a physical release on March 19th, which is in the future, but it will be in the past when this is released.
Got it. Yeah.
So it will...
So just for those people that want to have the case and the actual like disc.
Yeah.
Is that what it no, is? No, I don't a, even know. A, I haven't bought a game
it's
in
a
so
cartridge.
Long.
It's a cartridge for a Switch.
A cartridge?
Yeah.
They
went
oh,
back,
yeah.
They went like... back to cartridges.
Okay. I wouldn't know. I haven't seen one in a long time. All of our games are downloaded, so.
Yeah.
But I do have some friends that they want to have the case and the physical copy and all the booklets and everything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, if you're a collector or something, mm-hmm. that's your ballpark.
Which I get it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and that's pretty much all I got.
Wow. So, as you could probably tell from listening to the podcast that we've recorded already so far, I obviously did not meet the challenge that
what?
You gave me.
You did not slay Theseus and Mysterious and make it out of
I
Elysium.
I did not. You gave me a really hard challenge.
Yeah, I didn't.
And I think if sorry. I had yeah, one or two more weeks, yep. I could have beat the challenge or even beat the game.
Yeah.
But the furthest I got was making it to the third layer. I beat the Bone Snake.
The Hydra, Learney.
Yeah, I also have my own names for all the... All
I like
the,
Bone
like,
Snake,
yeah.
though.
I have my own made-up names for all the characters, but I made it into the third layer, but I pretty much died immediately, so I yeah. don't even think I made it to the second chamber of the third layer
yeah.
before dying, so that, I have a little more work to do.
That was a really, really difficult challenge, and sorry, not sorry, because I kind of want to hear your rap.
All right, well,
yeah,
you ready for the rap?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. With a warning, it's not for the light-hearted or underperforming. Get ready to die at the hands of Megara. She's got more dance steps than Sierra. Then you've got Athena, Ares, and Zeus trying to help Zagoras with a bunch of boons, squeezing lemons and getting no juice. I've used so many laughs, you'd think I was a Looney Tune. Sisyphus is the only soul who has it harder, but he's not trying to escape from his father. Makes me want to trade this journey for a boldier. Why do I have to long for someplace holier? When it comes down to it, her name is Persephone. Some would call her my mother, but it's just a fantasy. Never getting out of this place, I'm a loser. F it, never mind, I'm gonna hook up with Dusa. Oh my gosh. I told you guys I'm not Eric, so I mean I'm pretty proud of that rap.
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
I am not a studio recorded rap artist.
Boldier and Holier. Those go together so well.
Thank you. I was channeling my inner Nicki Minaj, you know, trying to manipulate the words. And I may or may not have had a good producer for my rap that helped me with that rhyme.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, producer Easy, Eric in the house. But yeah, I had fun doing it.
Yeah, it's good. It's yeah. good.
Are you ready though for the next game we're gonna cover?
I'm excited. I have a guess what I think it might be.
Oh, how do you have a guess?
Maybe I don't know. I have a thought. I thought, like, okay, you're going old.
Yes, I know, did give you a few hints before we recorded.
Yeah.
It's old.
You had it.
And it's on NES.
Yeah, and you seem to think it wasn't super challenging. It wouldn't be challenging for
mm-hmm.
me.
Yes, it is a very simple game.
My guess is anticipation.
No.
Oh.
I got you. I will give you one other hint, though, and I think you'll be able to get this for
okay.
sure.
All right.
You need a special controller to play this game.
Ooh. Is it Duck Hunt?
Yes. So nice. I know we have an NES, and I know we have the gun. Hopefully they work.
Yeah.
If not, we'll figure it out. We'll go to a store, get a new one or whatever. But, I mean, does it get more simple than Duck Hunt?
Yeah, Duck Hunt is a hard game. I remember during one of the video game tournaments, we played Duck Hunt, but we had a different variation of it called Drunk Hunt.
Yes, I remember this.
And so you have the zapper in your right hand, and you had your beer in your left hand. And so every duck you missed, you had to take a sip of beer.
That was pretty fun.
It was pretty silly, pretty fun.
So I'm going to do something a little different with my challenge.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to give you two challenges to pick from.
Ooh, all right.
Yes, choose your own challenge adventure, okay?
Yeah.
So challenge option A. Okay, get a perfect game in game A. So, you know, they have game A, game B.
A perfect game.
So, get a perfect game.
What is a perfect game in Duck Hunt? I'll never gotten a perfect game. Is that where you don't miss a single duck?
What I would think.
Those ducks,
you know,
go
perfect
nuts. Oh my
game
God.
In bowling means you don't miss a single pin. So, I'm guessing that.
Okay, that's really
perfect
hard.
Perfect game, yes. Or, okay, option B, and hopefully this is a little easier.
I'm hoping so.
Reach round 15 in game B.
That one.
Okay. So your goal is going to be reach round 15 in game B.
Okay.
Hopefully that's not a super easy challenge. I haven't played this game in a long time.
I'm not great at Duck Hunt, so I think that will be really challenging.
Okay. I can't wait to see if you can do it, and hopefully our controllers will work.
Hopefully.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. And as always, if you like our podcast, please share it with your friends, write us a review, and we want to talk to you on social media. So get on our Instagram or Facebook and let us know how you like the game. See you next time.